This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Tomorrow, the judge in the Aurora shooting case will reconsider his decision to seal the court file. Judge William Sylvester had ruled that documents normally open to the public would be kept secret. We're talking about police notes, search warrants, arrest affidavits. Around 20 media outlets, including NPR, have challenged the decision. Steven Zansberg is the Denver lawyer representing the press. And here to offer some insight into the desire for secrecy is former prosecutor, now criminal attorney, and adjunct professor of law at DU, Karen Steinhauser. They join us as part of our State Integrity Project. Welcome, both of you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Same here.
Steven, you're the one who has to change the judge's mind here. So what's your best argument?
Well, as our brief indicates, we have in our country a strong presumption of access not only to judicial proceedings, but also to records that are on file in criminal actions such as this. And any party wishing to maintain the sealing of records in a criminal case bears a very heavy burden to show that disclosure of information in the court file would create a clear and present danger to the administration of justice or some other compelling governmental interest, and that no alternative exists to adequately protect that interest. That's our best argument, is that it's not the press and the public's burden to, as you say, convince the judge to unseal the file. It's the burden on the parties to convince the judge that sealing is required.
Let's get beyond a tradition and the burden here and ask, why is it good for the public to be privy to what goes on in that courtroom?
Well, the reason the United States Supreme Court and our Colorado Supreme Court have recognized a constitutional right of access to judicial proceedings such as this is because public access fulfills important, as you say, not just historical roles, but an important function to the entire process. Public scrutiny tends to make everyone involved in a process pay attention and act honestly. There's a checking function on the people before the court, the judge, the prosecutor, the attorneys of record, and the court has recognized that without that check, all the other checks and balances that the Constitution provide are not sufficient. In addition, there's a recognized value to the public to be able to see that justice is being done.
Karen Steinhauser, you were formerly in the Denver District Attorney's Office, and give us some perspective here. What's a prosecutor's interest in keeping a case under wraps?
Well, I think there's two main goals. One has to do with preserving the integrity of the investigation.
This is an ongoing investigation,
and one of the things that the prosecution is claiming is this is a unique case. This is far beyond what so many other cases are in terms of the number of witnesses that have to be interviewed, the amount of investigation going on. And what the prosecution would argue is that in order to preserve the integrity of the investigation, then these items need to be sealed, at least for the present time. In other words, if they were to become unsealed, and people then who they are still in the process of trying to interview would learn of some details, some information, it might be difficult then to try to show that this witness was giving the information based on what they knew as opposed to what they learned from reading about it.
That somehow it muddies the water.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
What was the second point?
The second point is the more information that gets out to the public, the more information about things that may or may not be admissible in a courtroom, the more it can taint the ability to ensure that the defendant gets a fair trial, taint the ability of both sides to be able to find jurors who are going to be able to look at just what gets presented in the courtroom.
Because what is presented in the courtroom can vary tremendously from the information that is publicly available.
Information can vary tremendously. That's correct.
To the first point that that this could in some ways harm the investigation, don't lots of investigations go on in front of the eyes of the press?
It's been a lot. Let me just say, I can't remember perhaps with the exception of the Oklahoma City bombing, I can't remember an investigation that involved the number of people that this investigation involves, witnesses, law enforcement, first responders, people who are in-state, people who are out-of-state.
Steve Zansberg, you have said that this decision to seal the records is exceptional, but isn't this an exceptional case?
It is an exceptional case, without question. It's a horrific crime and a mass shooting. On the other hand, Professor Steinhauser points out, the Oklahoma City bombing trial was also a horrific crime that was tried here in Colorado, and the court file was not under seal. This is not a crime that occurred in secret. There has been a massive amount of information publicly disclosed on the record, and we don't look for 12 jurors to decide the defendant's guilt who are completely ignorant of these events. I'm not sure we could find 12 such people in Colorado. We look for 12 jurors who are able to abide by their oath to decide guilt or innocence based upon the evidence that is presented in court.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. And we're talking about the order from the judge in the case of the Aurora movie theater shooting that court documents, documents related to the case, be sealed. Judge William Sylvester will reconsider that tomorrow. We may not have an answer necessarily tomorrow, but we'll at least consider the issue. And joining us, Steven Zansberg. He's the Denver lawyer representing the press here, and also a former prosecutor, now adjunct professor of law at the University of Denver, Karen Steinhauser. Well, I wonder if, given that we're talking about, you know, some cases in history, mentioning Oklahoma City, is there a case that you think makes the argument for you? In other words, Karen Steinhauser, is there a case that you think was hugely compromised because of media attention, or one that was sealed and was therefore more successful?
Well, I think the one case that comes to mind in terms of the issues surrounding the media, and I think we've learned a lot since then, is the O.J. Simpson case. I mean, that was a case that I think the saying is the sideshow took over the circus. you know, that just it became so unbelievably difficult to for the attorneys to just do their job because of what was going on in the media.
Well, if I could answer, I would cite the O.J. Simpson case also as an example of a tremendous media frenzy, as some people had called it, that did result in a not guilty verdict. And so despite concerns over massive pretrial publicity that would make it impossible, was the claim, for a defendant to receive a fair trial, there was an acquittal.
And to this issue of the pressure on the attorneys, do you want to speak a bit more to that, Karen?
Well, I'm not sure how much that really affects the attorneys. I really think the issue becomes, you know, in terms of this unsealing, is really a concern in terms of how much information is there that would not ever be admissible. For example, we're seeing issues of privilege that have gotten out, issues pertaining to patient psychiatrist privilege.
Steve Zansberg, what do you say to that?
Well, that's true. There's a vast amount of information. The vast bulk of the information about this case, particularly given the sealing order, comes from information outside of the court file, from sources who are on the record, and some are later proven to be unreliable, and they may well disclose a lot of information that is either privileged or won't come into the evidence at trial because it's hearsay or is inadmissible for a whole variety of reasons. But we live in an open society where the public is allowed to be informed about crimes of this sort and the aftermath of the crimes and public institutions' responses to those crimes. And it's somewhat ironic that the one piece of the puzzle or the information that were being closed off from receiving is the official record.
Well, and I have to agree with Steve. What we're seeing are a lot of leaks, And there is no gag order, there is no ceiling that is going to control the leaks. And the problem...
Let's say that there is a gag order, but it's not exactly controlling the leaks.
But it's not controlling the leaks because people are saying things. And because of the gag order and with the ceiling, there is not an ability to make sure that people are hearing what the true, accurate facts are.
It sounds like
that
you've gone a little over to Steve's side.
Well, that issue concerns me.
And let's just say background...
Ryan, could I just add one thing, because I'm not sure you were aware of this, but my clients, who are 20 media organizations, have all also filed a second motion asking the judge to clarify the scope of the gag order, as we've referred to it, the order limiting pretrial publicity.
And is that something you expect the judge to rule on tomorrow as well, in addition to the ceiling?
I don't know if the judge will be taking up that motion. There's also a motion to clarify that the people have filed, but I'm not yet knowledgeable about what the people's motion was asking the judge to clarify.
You know, perhaps we've conveyed this in a way that makes it seem like a ruling on sealing the documents now is a ruling forever, but couldn't there be some play here? That is, the judge later on decides to open up some files when the investigation winds down?
Absolutely. This is not an all or nothing proposition. We're talking about a horrific crime with thousands of documents so far that occurred less than a month ago. So to say that the prosecution, the police are still in the investigative stage is an understatement. They really are. And so there is nothing that would prevent the court, even a month from now, to say, okay, you know, the bulk of it now does seem to be done. We're going to unseal. Mm. And I think in terms of the balance, what is the right, what is the need for the public to know all of these things right now that's contained in the affidavits, in the search warrants, versus a month from now?
Stephen?
As our motion points out, that the courts have recognized that when there is a right of access to judicial proceedings and records, as we are asserting here, it is a right of contemporaneous access. And that's because the court has recognized, I'm quoting now, that contemporaneous review in the forum of public opinion is an effective restraint on possible abuse of judicial power. This court is exercising governmental authority in issuing warrants for searches and for arrest. And the public is entitled to monitor the conduct of our public institutions at the time those actions are occurring.
That's attorney Stephen Zansberg, who represents numerous media outlets, including NPR, that want more information in the case of James Holmes, the suspected gunman in the Aurora movie theater shooting. Karen Steinhauser is a criminal attorney, former prosecutor, and adjunct professor at the University of Denver. Our conversation's part of the State Integrity Project. We've teamed up with the Center for Public Integrity to examine how open and ethical government is. Listen to other reports and interviews on the subject at cpr.org.